This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
A new generation of sports radio.
This is the Tony D Show.
Now it's time to see who has the heart.
This is our countdown to kickoff featuring the Cincinnati Bengals. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New Jersey, here's Tony Desiri.
Well, glad to be with us as we continue along in our countdown to kickoff with the Bengals today. I am Tony D, taking it up for the next 2 hours here on SB Nation Radio. Last year, the Bengals started off 8-0 and looked really, really good. Andy Dalton was having an MVP caliber year. Everything was clicking. The defense was playing well. Again, 8-0. And then there was this Monday night game against the Texans, and Houston won that game 10-6. Sort of changed the direction Houston was heading. And there were some questions that were going to come up on Cincinnati. They would lose to Arizona. They would lose to Pittsburgh. Andy Dalton got hurt. A.J. McCarron came in. They lost to the Broncos in overtime in Week 16. And then they went into the playoffs against the Steelers at home. And this is a team that for four straight seasons prior to this game had gone to the postseason and lost in the opening round. They were a better football team than the Steelers with Andy Dalton, but in the end, A.J. McCarron had to get things done, and the Steelers won this game 18-16, but they lost Antonio Brown. Montez Burfitt hit him, and it was this controversy, and he's been suspended for the first three games of the season. So the Cincinnati Bengals of 2016 have a lot of a season in which they had a lot of good things to look at, but then there were things that they really need to clean up. When I look at Andy Dalton, I don't see one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, but I certainly see a guy that is efficient enough to get a team into the playoffs and to get a team a win in the playoffs. I don't know how far I would take Andy Dalton. I don't know, but you know, people have said that about Joe Flacco. People have said that about other quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. But the reality of it is there's really no reason why the Cincinnati Bengals should have not won a playoff game. Marvin Lewis is going into his 14th season in Cincinnati. I have absolutely no answer as to why they haven't been able to win in January. But I do know this, they don't win in January. So when we look at the Bengals this upcoming season, there's going to be a lot of, oh, this is what they do good here. This is what they do good here. This is where they have the efficiency. This is where they may be a problem. All of this really stems to, hey, when they get to January, why don't they win? Why do circumstances pop up where they can't get it done, whether it was Jeremy Hill fumbling the football late or penalties galore, all of those things that the Cincinnati Bengals have not been able to accomplish in January. Our telephone number to join us, 800-777-2907. I want to get to the Olympics. There were a lot of cool things that happened yesterday. We got two guests coming up in this hour. Eric Boland is going to join us from Newsday in New York. We're going to talk about Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees. That's going to come to an end. The player relationship with A-Rod and the Yankees comes to an end on Friday. And then he takes on this role as special team advisor so that the Yankees can get something for the $27 million that they still owe him. How did we reach this point? How did Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees reach this point that on a weekend in August, this relationship comes to an end where they want to save A-Rod the embarrassment of not playing him? A-Rod wants to save himself the embarrassment of not playing, and that the Yankees still have to pay him $27 million. You kind of understand why this is going to happen, but there are a little bit of the nuances of this story that I want to get to. A lot of people will say, and I'll ask Eric about this, well, he's a problem, but he's our problem. Fan bases do this all the time. You know, imagine a controversial player. I mean, with the Bengals, Vontaze Burfict, for example, or anybody else that's controversial. Fans will rally around their own problem as long as you don't comment on the problem. Are Yankee fans like that with Alex Rodriguez, or is this really a divorce of player and fan and team? Alex Rodriguez helped the Yankees win a 2009 World Series, but he has been a problem for them. In the locker room, is he a guy that the players are going to miss? There are some little tiny things to the story we're going to break down with Eric Boland from Newsday. Also, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Landon Donovan. He's going to comment on the state of soccer in America, the soccer at the Olympics, which, by the way, the United States is not in from the men's side. The United States in World Cup preparation. We'll just kind of get an overview of the sport with Landon Donovan coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Adam, let me tell you the power of preparation. I don't follow soccer all that much, and the Olympics is there's a lot of things that overwhelm me at the Olympics and who's who and the matches and the games. So when it was approached to me today that we could have Landon Donovan on the show, my first thought was, oh, okay, yeah, I'll ask him about the men's Olympic team. That'll be kind of cool. We'll start off with that. Until I found out we have no men's Olympic team in Rio. So I just wanted to say that I saved myself a little bit of embarrassment. I don't know if Landon would have played along or not. I think he might have just been like, yeah, normally we're okay at this. We haven't been to the Olympics in men's soccer since 2008. Now, and one of the reasons is while the United States women's team, for example, Alex Morgan, you know, you've had Abby Wambach on the team for a while. You have some of the players that you know on that national team for years and years. The Olympics, it's a 23 and under team across the board. I don't know why they do that. I don't. Maybe it's to compete because the world, they don't want a World Cup part two at the Olympic Games 2 years later. And the World Cup should be the World Cup and should be the only thing. But this is also one of the reasons why we don't have development. We don't develop very well. If we're missing the Olympics because our under 23 teams aren't going and not learning international competition or playing in that environment, does it hurt us down the road? We'll talk to Landon Donovan about that coming up. Now, the Olympics are the ultimate sports television reality program. The Olympics are bought with a $1 billion television package, and everything is put together like a TV show rather than Olympic sporting events. If they were just regular old events, they'd come on, we'd get a little pregame, get a little postgame, and then we'd wrap this up. But instead, you find packages. We want to get to know the athletes. We want to get to know their backstories, and we will take anything, or at least television will take anything that's sort of a good story, and they'll blow it up and they'll make it larger than what it may appear to be. Well, that's not the case with what went on yesterday in the 100-meter breaststroke when Lily King won this war over Russian Yulia Imovia, who has been caught doping and yet through some loophole was allowed to compete. And Lily King is absolutely opposed to anybody who's ever been caught doping participating in the Olympics. That includes her own United States teammates on not only swimming but in other sports. So she's been very vocal as a 19-year-old. Well, they met in the finals of this, and Lily King won, and won just barely. So what happened afterwards? Well, we took this rivalry, we took this story, and we blew it up into this new Cold War, and into this story of, well, now, you know, this is a nemesis, and this is a rivalry, this is a controversy, all of that to make this story even larger than what it is. An American wins a gold medal in swimming, and it's even bigger than that. She not only won a gold, but she defied a Russian doper. You couldn't write this in a movie if you wanted to. The one thing that I will say, though, is some of our best Olympic stories have come because of situations just like this. You know, the famous United States Olympic hockey team in 1980, everybody knows that just about everybody knows that that team did not win the gold medal by beating the Russians. They won the gold medal by beating Finland. They got to the gold medal game by beating the Russians. But the story is always how the United States beat the Soviet Union, the mighty Soviets, in hockey. That our amateurs beat their professionals makes the story bigger. We have had many of those type of Olympic moments, whether they were real or propaganda or maybe a little exaggerated. Whenever there's an international conflict at the games, or there is something that we can say there's a villain and there's somebody wearing the white hat, that is very, very appealing. The 84 games, for example, That's one of my earliest recollections of really getting into the Olympics. I devoured the Sports Illustrated Olympic Preview Edition. I watched as much of it as I possibly could. It was in Los Angeles. The United States was winning all of these medals. But, you know, when I look back on that, and I was a kid at the time, but when I look back on that, I didn't get to experience in 84 anybody wearing the black hat. I didn't get to have an enemy to root against. Not only did I get to have the United States players and athletes to root for, I didn't have anybody to root against because all of the Soviet bloc countries decided not to come to Los Angeles. And it was a mass boycott of those countries, just like the United States did in 1980. But by the time, you know, as the years went on and the Olympics went to Seoul and then went to Barcelona, well, that sort of animosity, that international animosity, went away with it. And instead, we ended up with stories of Michael Phelps wins all of these medals and the United States Dream Team emerges in 1992 and we have Carrie Strug and all of these great stories. This is a great little example of what the Olympics has always produced when it can produce it. There is a hero, there's a villain, and guess what? We get now a rooting interest in a sport we don't watch normally. We'll talk to Eric Boland. What's going on with New York, the Yankees, and A-Rod next on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, we're just getting a report that Prince Fielder is going to announce that he is retired. He's out for the year with an injury. Alex Rodriguez is done playing baseball on Friday. Eric Boland will join us from Newsday. We'll get the lowdown on how we reached this point with the Yankees and A-Rod. He wasn't going to play, that was for sure. But, you know, I always find these stories rather interesting because, as I said yesterday, I thought years ago A-Rod would be one of the celebrated players. Now he's kind of gone out with a whimper. Eric Boland joins us from Newsday in New York on Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for your time. All right, so how did we reach this point where on a Friday in August, Alex Rodriguez is done playing Major League Baseball?
You know, Tony, it was one of those things where you could see some kind of an end coming. It was just a matter of what form it would take and when, really. And with the Yankees making their decision at the trade deadline to sell off most of their assets and to really make a franchise shift in terms of trying to get younger and more athletic and infusing their farm system with that kind of talent, mainly in the form of prospects. Alex had not been playing all that much anyway because he got off to a terrible start this year, really never got things going. They turned him into a platoon DH more or less when the offense was really struggling in June. And so after the trade deadline, he received virtually no playing time. And it just, and you just saw it story after story after story about when is the end coming for Alex Rodriguez. And managing general partner Hal Steinbrenner, came up with this idea and basically in a couple of meetings last week put it to Alex saying, there's really not going to be playing time the rest of the year. Let's see if we can come up with something that allows both sides to it to save face here and for it not to get ugly. They came up with what you saw on Friday, and obviously we'll see how things play out with Alex in his new role if he ever does get the point where he's fulfilling it, or if he decides to hook on with somebody else, which as the Yankees have said is his right.
You know, with fans, they always have this, they sort of rally around their own, and it may say, look, he may be a mess, but he's our mess. Do Yankee fans feel that way with Alex Rodriguez, or is this also a divorce with them too?
No, I mean, I think that you'll see when he plays in what is supposed to be his final Major League game on Friday at Yankee Stadium. I think it'll be all cheers across the board, to be honest with you. And look, I can't tell you how many people I heard from, whether it be email or on social media or, listening to talk shows, whenever, when he was fighting with the team in 2013 and ultimately took his suspension in 2014, and all these people said, and there's Yankee fans I'm talking about, that I'm done with this guy, I'll never root for him again. And I never believed that for a second. I figured that would last as long as before he got his first hit when he returned to the majors. And guess what? That's exactly what happened, and he was cheered pretty much all of last year when he led the team with 33 home runs, which was a remarkable bounce-back season after not playing in 2014. The leash has always been shorter with him in New York, but as long as he's been productive, he's cheered as loudly as just about anyone who's not named Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera or Andy Pettit or one of those core four guys. But it's never really been a love-hate relationship with Yankee fans and Alex Rodriguez. It's been far more love, and he's never been considered, quote, I hate this cliche, but one of those true Yankee guys, the way Jeter and Mariano and Pettit and Posada were. But he was certainly more loved than disliked by Yankee fans.
How should we look at Alex Rodriguez's career? Because it is remarkable, but yet it does have this PED attachment that a lot of guys have not been able to shake. But I've been saying this week that I never thought that when I saw him when he was younger, I never thought it would end on an average Friday in August.
No, I don't think anybody would have seen this coming when he was putting up the numbers that he was. He was the youngest ever to 500 career home runs, youngest to 600. And I remember, and I've been covering the team, this is now my eighth year covering them, and I remember when he hit number 600, and it really was, you know, you saw all sorts of stories and speculation about you know, the sky seemed to be the limit, and it seemed like he would blow by everybody and eventually get to 800 home runs or more. I mean, it really seemed like the trajectory was headed in that direction. The legacy, it's going to be fascinating to see, Tony, how that shakes itself out. Obviously, what's said and written about him now is going to be far different than what you see 5, 10, 15, even 20 years down the road. Do I think he'll eventually get in the Hall of Fame? I think there's a decent chance, I think, as the electorate for the Baseball Hall of Fame gets younger and younger, and you have more of a nuanced, less black and white way that people look at steroid users, and I consider myself in that category. I'll be honest with you, I would vote for Alex. I would vote for Roger Clemens. I'd vote for Barry Bonds. Not all of them, but the ones that I thought were Hall of Famers, and taking into account the era in which they played, you know, they were still the best of the best, and so I would put them in, and I think more and more voters are trending that way, but they're not there now. But overall, I think it is sad, and I don't mean in a personal way where I feel sad about it. I just mean in a general, in a vacuum type of way when you're evaluating sports figures. I think it is sad that when people say Alex Rodriguez's name, what doesn't come to mind is all-time great player. It's a punchline of some kind, and a guy that's put up the numbers that he has put up, you know, it's of his own making, but part of you thinks he deserves better than that. Again, he put himself in this position, but for a guy that's put up the numbers that he has, it is too bad to a degree.
Eric Bolin, Newsday on Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees. I got about a minute, but I did want to touch on something that you wrote, because when people hear this advisor role, they kind of roll their eyes like, hey, the Yankees may just be trying to get something for their money. But you wrote that he actually does have a positive impact in that locker room with the younger guys.
Oh, he absolutely does, and I get very defensive. I'm not the biggest Alex Rodriguez fan in the world. Obviously, some of the things that he's done speaks for itself in terms of the way that he's treated people. Forget all the PED stuff, but anybody that doesn't give him credit as being not just a good teammate, but a very good, bordering on great teammate, and unfortunately there are a fair number of media people in this category that don't give him credit for that, are blind or indifferent, or just don't want to give an inch to even say one positive thing about him, and that's a shame, because you talk to young Yankee players, particularly the Latin players, and I mentioned that in Newsday today in the story that you referenced. He's a guy that holds court with them, gives them as much time as they need. If they're nervous, and the guys that don't speak English, you know, he helps acclimate them to the clubhouse and baseball stuff, whether it be on the field or off the field. He's an excellent teammate, and veteran guys will talk about that who come over from other teams. So, and forget, and that's not even taken into account his baseball IQ, which Brian McCann, the catcher, said is off the charts. So, you know, people inside the game know what he can bring to the table, and that should be part of his legacy as well.
Eric Bolin, great stuff. Appreciate your time. A Newsday on Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees. Check out especially that article if you want to know what he means to the Yankees locker room. Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you so much.
You got it, Tony. Have a good afternoon.
Again, Eric Bolin of Newsday. And I was a little impressed by that. I did not know about that in the locker room, how many supporters he really has in that clubhouse, even the older guys that are going to miss him around. It still doesn't change the fact that the Yankees do have to move on, and Alex Rodriguez isn't productive. And it is embarrassing that he is on the bench, and it is embarrassing for the organization to sort of have this sort of relationship that's not working on his side and it's not working on the Yankees' side. The Yankees are so totally going in another direction. But as I said, it's just odd that a guy that came in so heralded, so young, so good, talented, looked like he was going to have it all, that this is going to be a Friday night in August, that a career is going to come to an end, when it should have been at the end of the season, to sort of a celebratory cheer. The Yankee fans will be cheering. Everybody else is like, all right, good riddance. Landon Donovan on the state of U.S. soccer coming up next. I am Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, the Cincinnati Bengals are on our countdown to kickoff clock. We'll be breaking them down throughout the show. They went 12-4 last year, but again lost in the opening round of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy Dalton's healthy. He had a thumb injury against the Steelers on December 13th of last season. A.J. McCarron stepped in, did a pretty good job, but not necessarily up to the task of taking a team that started 8-0 and getting them deep into the playoffs. And when you lose your starter, you lose your starter. The Olympics going on, and one of the things about the Olympics is there's really two things that in my lifetime that bring us together as a country. I know there's some other events that may bring us more, but to me, there's two. The World Cup, when the United States is in it and the United States is playing, and the Olympic Games. I remember covering a Denver Bronco game years ago when Michael Phelps was swimming in 2008. It was a preseason game, and people stuck around the stadium because they were going to show it on the Jumbotron after the game. And there was a whole bunch of people wanting to see if Michael Phelps would get another medal, and that sort of scene was playing out throughout the country. The World Cup is also one. When the United States is in it, the United States is playing particularly well in it. It's a moment that's shared all across the country. We all gather at stadiums. We gather in our house. We have this shared moment. We rarely get to do that in sports. Landon Donovan provided that in 2010 when he scored the goal against Algeria to advance the United States to the round of 16. And if you don't have to go very, you have to look very far to see the impact of that. Like, there's a YouTube compilation of just people in bars all across the United States cheering frantically when this goal went down, and they're all from Seattle to Miami to St. Louis to Dallas and all the places in between. We rarely get to do that as a country. But when we do, it's kind of neat. And I was talking about this earlier with Lily King and winning this swimming event, this 100-meter breaststroke. Well, on the surface, many of us don't follow swimming or know a lot about swimming. But when you put this in a context of shared moment, that's when it all kicks in. As I said earlier, Landon Donovan had that moment in the 2010 World Cup. He joins us here on SB Nation Radio. Talk a little soccer. Brought to you by Captain Morgan. You know, millennials are populous and they're influential. Go to under35podium.com to have your voice heard, to get millennials to be able to run for president. How are you, Landon?
I'm doing great. Sorry for being late.
No worries, man. I appreciate it. I wanted to ask you right off the bat. I know the United States is not in the soccer event in the Olympics, so the second year in a row. Landon, does that hurt our chances at progression in the sport?
Yeah, but maybe not in the way people think. It's not that we're missing out on a chance to win or get experience. It's that we're missing out on a chance to gain fans in our country. And as you know, a lot of people tune in to the Olympics that aren't necessarily fans of certain sports, but they'll watch because the U.S. is playing. I was watching archery yesterday. I would never watch archery. So I realized that a lot of people would have tuned in to watch the U.S.'s Olympic men's soccer team play. And now we're missing out on a chance to grow the game and win over more fans. So that's where it really hurts.
In terms of development of players, do they need that Olympic experience at the under 23 age to progress in the national stage for future World Cups?
Well, every opportunity to play in a tournament like that is important. And you can't have too much experience. Experience only helps you. So in that way, yes, it's not as big of a deal as one might think, but it is important, and really more than anything for me, it's just sad for the kids that don't get the opportunity to experience an Olympics. For me, it was one of the best experiences of my life.
In terms of how the United States didn't get there, is there some reason why are we struggling now as a country in soccer, or was it just circumstances and you got to win some games and they just didn't?
No, if it happened once, you would say, okay, maybe just on that day when they played, I think they played Honduras and lost the game against Honduras, which would have qualified them for the Olympics. If it happened once, you could say, well, on that day, Honduras was the better team and we had a bad day. But what the problem is we didn't qualify this time. We didn't qualify last time. A few of our other youth national teams, the under 20 and under 17 teams, haven't qualified or have done poorly in their tournaments. And that's where you start to say, okay, maybe this is a bigger problem. It's something we need to look at. So I think everybody in the soccer circles now are looking at this as a more serious problem, and how do we do a better job developing our young players so that this isn't happening?
You're on the front line of this in terms of popularity of this sport. And I always wonder, I love when the World Cup, and I love it as a country, when we celebrate something together. We hardly ever get to do that. But as you've seen this sport grow, are you seeing it exponentially, or is it a point where you're still wondering, are we really rooting for soccer, or are we just rooting for something the U.S. is in?
That's a really good question. It's really well said, the first part of that. I think it's probably both. I think it's growing
I would say slowly as opposed to exponentially, but it's growing. You know, there's other sports, I think, in this country that are declining, actually, and soccer continues to grow, particularly as it pertains to Major League Soccer. The other piece, though, is that there are people who still just tune in because they want to see the U.S. do well in an event, just like I alluded to with the Olympics. So that's okay, and that's probably going to be the case. You know, there's probably a lot of basketball fans that are watching the – or not basketball fans that are watching the women's and men's basketball team in Rio do well and rooting for them. You're always going to have a small segment of your fan base that does that. But what we want to do is convert those people into diehard fans so that we can continue to grow our fan base.
Landon Donovan joins us, Soccer Star United States, joins us via Captain Morgan. Go to under35potus.com to have your voice heard. Millennials are populous, they're influential, yet they can't run for president. Landon Donovan joining us here on SB Nation. Landon, I'm naive on this, so you may need to have to sort of really, really correct me. I still get baffled that we live in a country that has 300 million people, we have all the money, we have resources, and yet this is this... Getting soccer to an international acceptable level seems to be struggling with. Is there something in the formation of it or in the development of it that we're still not getting as a country?
The answer is yes. I'm not going to pretend to be the absolute expert, but I did live it and I am involved in it on a day-to-day basis. My opinion is that it starts with teaching, and we need to do a better job of teaching our young kids how to play the game properly, how to understand the game, how to think about the game, and have them passionate about the game. I think we're getting the passion part down. I speak to a lot of kids who are so passionate, know more about every league and every player in Major League Soccer than I do. But are we still, we're still lacking with our coaching and our teaching of these young kids. I think it's getting better. The problem with that is that you won't know for 5 or 10 or 15 years because the kids who are 8 years old now being taught by former professional players won't come into Major League Soccer or the national team for 5 or 10 or 15 years. So I think it's going to be time. It's going to take time to see whether or not that's effective. And if not, then I think there'll be a real crisis because that has to change at some point.
And I think we're ready. I mean, I was citing your goal against Algeria. It's one of those moments that if you just look at how many people were celebrating at the exact same moment that you scored that goal, it's something we don't see in this country all the time. And I think we're ready to take that step as a country. Do you still feel that?
I do. And I think it's a great comment you make about us as a country not really coming together to celebrate things oftener, to be all together on something. And that's the beauty of playing for a national team or playing in the Olympics, is that I think that's why everyone enjoys it so much. There's no question we're ready, but these things don't happen overnight. I know we live in a society where we want instant gratification. They don't happen overnight. When I look at when I started in 2001 versus what is happening today in Major League Soccer and soccer in this country, it's pretty remarkable to see how far we've come. That being said, we know we still have a long way to go.
Landon Donovan, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. And again, brought to us by Captain Morgan. Go to under35potus.com. Have your voice heard. Interesting concept with Captain Morgan. Appreciate it, Landon. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You got it. Again, under35potus.com. They would like to see millennials who are populous, they are influential, they're starting businesses, yet the amendment to the Constitution, they can't run for president until they're 35. So this is an interesting campaign Captain Morgan is putting together. You know what it is? It probably doesn't have a chance, but it is at least acknowledging what millennials are doing in this country right now. My God, I wish I was a millennial. CEOs of companies at 27 years old. When I was 27, I was still a kid in the business. Now I can own a business and run a business. My God, have times changed. All right, we'll talk a little bit about what Landon Donovan said. And then coming up, the big story in sports, that's the side story in sports. If people want to go in one direction, I think I'm going to go in another direction. I'll tell you what it is next. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio. Millennials to be able to run for president. How are you, Landon?
I'm doing great. Sorry for being late.
No worries, man. I appreciate it. I wanted to ask you right off the bat. I know the United States is not in the soccer event in the Olympics, so the second year in a row. Landon, does that hurt our chances at progression in the sport?
Yeah, but maybe not in the way people think. It's not that we're missing out on a chance to win or get experience. It's that we're missing out on a chance to gain fans in our country. And as you know, a lot of people tune in to the Olympics that aren't necessarily fans of certain sports, but they'll watch because the U.S. is playing. I was watching archery yesterday. I would never watch archery. So I realized that a lot of people would have tuned in to watch the U.S.'s Olympic men's soccer team play, and now we're missing out on a chance to grow the game and win over more fans. So that's where it really hurts.
In terms of development of players, do they need that Olympic experience at the under 23 age to progress in the national stage for future World Cups?
Well, every opportunity to play in a tournament like that is important. And you can't have too much experience. Experience only helps you. So in that way, yes, it's not as big of a deal as one might think, but it is important. And really, more than anything for me, it's just sad for the kids that don't get the opportunity to experience an Olympics. For me, it was one of the best experiences of my life.
In terms of how the United States didn't get there, is there some reason why? Are we struggling now as a country in soccer, or was it just circumstances and you got to win some games and they just didn't?
No, if it happened once, you would say, okay, maybe just on that day when they played, I think they played Honduras and lost the game against Honduras, which would have qualified them for the Olympics. If it happened once, you could say, well, on that day, you know, Honduras was the better team and we had a bad day. But what the problem is we didn't qualify this time. We didn't qualify last time. A few of our other youth national teams, the under 20 and under 17 teams, haven't qualified or have done poorly in their tournaments. And that's where you start to say, okay, maybe this is a bigger problem. It's something we need to look at. So I think everybody in the soccer circles now are looking at this as a more serious problem. And how do we do a better job developing our young players so that this isn't happening?
You're on the front line of this in terms of popularity of this sport. And I always wonder, I love when the World Cup, and I love it as a country, when we celebrate something together. We hardly ever get to do that. But as you've seen this sport grow, are you seeing it exponentially, or is it a point where you're still wondering, are we really rooting for soccer, or are we just rooting for something the U.S. is in?
That's a really good question. It's really well said, the first part of that. I think it's probably both. I think it's growing, I would say slowly as opposed to exponentially, but it's growing. You know, there's other sports, I think, in this country that are declining, actually, and soccer continues to grow, particularly as it pertains to Major League Soccer. The other piece, though, is that there are people who still just tune in because they want to see the U.S. do well in an event, just like I alluded to with the Olympics. So that's okay, and that's probably going to be the case. You know, there's probably a lot of basketball fans that are watching the women's and men's basketball team in Rio do well and rooting for them. You're always going to have a small segment of your fan base that does that. But what we want to do is convert those people into diehard fans so that we can continue to grow our fan base.
Landon Donovan joins us, Soccer Star United States, joins us via Captain Morgan. Go to under35potus.com to have your voice heard. Millennials are populist, they're influential, yet they can't run for president. Landon Donovan joining us here on SB Nation. Landon, I'm naive on this, so you may need to have to sort of really, really correct me. I still get baffled that we live in a country that has 300 million people, we have all the money, we have resources, and yet getting soccer to an international acceptable level seems to be struggling with. Is there something in the formation of it or in the development of it that we're still not getting as a country?
The answer is yes. I'm not going to pretend to be the absolute expert, but I did live it and I am involved in it on a day-to-day basis. My opinion is that it starts with teaching, and we need to do a better job of teaching our young kids how to play the game properly, how to understand the game, how to think about the game, and have them passionate about the game. I think we're getting the passion part down. I speak to a lot of kids who are so passionate, know more about every league and every player in Major League Soccer than I do. But we're still lacking with our coaching and our teaching of these young kids. I think it's getting better. The problem with that is that you won't know for 5 or 10 or 15 years, because the kids who are 8 years old now being taught by former professional players won't come into Major League Soccer or the national team for 5 or 10 or 15 years. So I think it's going to take time to see whether or not that's effective. And if not, then I think there'll be a real crisis, because that has to change at some point.
And I think we're ready. I mean, I was citing your goal against Algeria. It's one of those moments that if you just look at how many people were celebrating at the exact same moment that you scored that goal, it's something we don't see in this country all the time. And I think we're ready to take that step as a country. Do you still feel that?
I do. And I think it's a great comment you make about us as a country not really coming together to celebrate things oftener, to be all together on something. And that's the beauty of playing for a national team or playing in the Olympics, is that I think that's why everyone enjoys it so much. There's no question we're ready, but these things don't happen overnight. I know we live in a society where we want instant gratification. They don't happen overnight. When I look at when I started in 2001 versus what is happening today in Major League Soccer and soccer in this country, it's pretty remarkable to see how far we've come. That being said, we know we still have a long way to go.
Landon Donovan, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. And again, brought to us by Captain Morgan. Go to under35potus.com. Have your voice heard. Interesting concept with Captain Morgan. Appreciate it, Landon. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You got it. Again, under35potus.com. They would like to see millennials who are populous. They are influential. They're starting businesses. Yet the amendment to the Constitution, they can't run for president until they're 35. So this is an interesting campaign Captain Morgan is putting together. You know what it is? It probably doesn't have a chance, but it is at least acknowledging what millennials are doing in this country right now. My God, I wish I was a millennial. CEOs of companies at 27 years old. When I was 27, I was still a kid in the business. Now I can own a business and run a business. My God, have times changed. All right, we'll talk a little bit about what Landon Donovan said. And then coming up, the big story in sports, that's the side story in sports. If people want to go in one direction, I think I'm going to go in another direction. I'll tell you what it is next. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
This is SB Nation Radio.
What's up, man? This is KD. 35 for the Warriors. Listen to SB Nation.
If you miss any of our shows, you can go to podcastarena.com.
SB Nation is powered by Tweaker Energy Drink, a shot of liquid energy.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Introducing Truly Spiked and Sparkling Water. It tastes like sparkling water, but with a refreshing twist. 5% alcohol, light fruit taste, simple ingredients, and 100 calories. Truly refreshing.
Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, LLC, Boston, Mass. Please drink responsibly.
When's the best time to enjoy Twisted Tea? When you want the taste of real iced tea, but with a kick. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea is brewed like a beer, but tastes like real iced tea. Cool, refreshing, smooth, with a kick. Twisted Tea.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Drink responsibly.
This is Night Moves with Lewis Woodard.
You know, everything in Alabama is so structured for those guys. They come off the practice field, protein shake ready for them. 10 p.m., protein-based meal. All those guys have to crawl out of their dorm rooms and have, right? I mean, just everything. Nick Saban has that program running like such an efficient machine. And with a lot of these guys, when they get into the NFL, they have a little more freedom. And, man, with Trent Richardson, it didn't exactly work out.
Lewis takes you through your overnights every weeknight on SB Nation Radio. This is the Mighty Gwen.
Because our attention spans are so short nowadays. I mean, they literally span seconds. There's research on it. I started to read the research, but then I got bored and started doing something else. That's how short our attention spans are. I couldn't even read the research on how short our attention spans are. So we get into these situations where something ends up taking longer than we think it should, and we completely dismiss the substance of it because we're too busy bemoaning how long it's taking. And the same thing with the Brett Favre speech. People on Twitter Saturday night, oh my God, I can't believe this is going so long. Brett, hurry up. Let's go. He played for 20 years, and apparently his induction speech is also going to last 20 years.
Who sits there and gets on Twitter and starts whining about how long something takes? Change the channel. We have 678. I'm sure you can find something else. So if you don't like how long the speech is, turn the channel.
Catch the Mighty Gwynn every weekday from noon to 2 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. This is the Talk of Fame Network.
I'm Clark Judge of the Talk of Fame Network. Join me and my Pro Football Hall of Fame colleagues, Rick Dawson and Ron Forges, as we talk all things Canada, as in who's Hall of Fame worthy, who's not, and why. You can catch us as well as guests like Joe Namath, Joe Montana, Jerry Jones, Brett Favre, Tony Dungy, Joe Green, Emmett Smith. Look, I think you get the idea. We've got the guests and we have the knowledge if you've got the time.
Hear the Talk of Fame Network every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on SB Nation Radio.
If you have sleep apnea, this isn't a radio commercial. It's a gift. The gift of sleeping in total comfort anywhere you want, thanks to Transcend, the world's very first mini CPAP. Because right now, we'll give you the opportunity to try Transcend absolutely risk-free for a full 10 days. Call us now, 1-800-941-5963. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend Mini CPAP, is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound, giving you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Give yourself the gift of sleeping comfortably anywhere, anytime you want. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-941-5963. That's 1-800-941-5963.
This is Prime Cut.
The former Pittsburgh Steeler, the former Jet, the former Eagle, the former Atlanta Falcon, Michael Vick. Michael, thanks for taking some time today. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike, who is the best teacher for you, mentor, on the field, in the league, whether it be coach or player, that's helped you the most learn, you know, football-wise?
Well, I think, you know, Andy Reid was probably the most influential in terms of football. You know, just the, you know, the etiquette, learning the defenses, the plays, the West Coast system, ins and outs, detail, helped me, you know, excel and have success. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit, you know, even to this day, because I take those same qualities and intangibles into different offenses and try to use them, you know, in terms of my footwork and timing. And, you know, the West Coast system, it's a blessing. It was a blessing to be in because it helped me so much as a quarterback.
Tune in to Prime Cut with Steve Buhnen and quarterback Sean Salisbury on your drive home on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D, taking you all the way through to 4 o'clock Eastern time. Thanks to Landon Donovan to join us. I'm sure he's been asked that question. I've asked him 1,000 times. But I had to ask it because it's the only time I get a chance to ask it. Which is, why aren't we very good at this? Like, how long... Adam, you're younger than I am. How long would you say we've been going down the when will we be good at soccer question?
Oh.
20-plus years?
When were they good with, like, Alexi Lalas? Was that, like, mid-90s?
That was the 94 Olympic, no, the World Cup team in L.A. Tony Miola was the goalie. And,
yeah, like that's...
Kobe Jones.
And I have friends from back home in Illinois that are really into soccer and U.S. soccer and stuff, and they keep telling me how good we're going to be, and then we're just never good. So I'm just
Think,
don't tell me that anymore.
John F. Kennedy said... we're going to go to the moon by the end of the decade. And the United States went, moon? We don't even know how to get to the moon. How do we get to the moon? How does that happen? And they went, now we'll figure it out. And before you know it, yep, by the end of the decade, they had gone to the moon. This, are we going to ever be good at soccer? This has been going on for 20-plus years. 20-plus years. And we're not in the Olympics. We're not in the Olympics.
And like you
for
said,
soccer.
Me and you, we didn't even know this morning, really.
We didn't
that
even know
weren't.
That. I swear I was going to ask him, oh, how's the United States Olympic team doing? How do they look?
I mean, we all know about the women and how they're doing, but men don't even matter.
I had to do research to find out that we have not made the last two Olympics in soccer. Now, granted, it's an under 23 unit that gets to go there, so development-wise, we may still struggle. But I still, I tell people this all the time, and I get laughed at all the time by the soccer guys, the soccer experts, when I say what I said to him. 300 million people, we can't find 25 that are good at this? That's all I'm asking. 25 people that are good at this, and we can't? And I'm like, oh, you don't understand. You see, in other countries. No, I don't care about other countries. Right now, I care about this country. We can't find 25 kids that are good at this because we should. We should be able to. But yet, I don't know if the system's in place that we don't. I think I'm going to, if I live to a ripe old age, I don't think I'm ever going to reach a point where we're going to be considered a really good at it. We'll have moments. Don't get me wrong. We'll have moments because it's still a game and you still have to play in the game. But in terms of, you know, in terms of the idea that we'll be consistently good, no, I don't think I'll ever see it. I don't think I'll ever see it. All right, there's a story going around today, and I'll touch up more about it coming up in hour number two, that's going to go in a lot of the similar directions from people who do this for a living. And they're not necessarily wrong, but I think I'm going to go in a different direction. And the story involves Tim Tebow wanting to play baseball. Tim Tebow has become a punching bag for a lot of us in the media and for a lot of people out there because there is something about Tim Tebow that just doesn't sit right with people. The fact that he wanted so badly to be an NFL quarterback yet couldn't read defenses very well and wasn't very accurate and didn't want to change positions. And he just has that good old, I'll keep trying, even if my skill level is not up to par. And now he comes out with this sort of, it feels like a publicity stunt that he wants to play baseball. And he's going to invite scouts, and he's going to be working out, and he's been training to try to make a baseball team. Now, the natural tendency of guys like me is to just bash this, destroy this, talk about your dream and if you ever think you're going to make a Major League Baseball team. I want to go in an opposite direction. I think in the end, I'm going to have to sit back and go, you know what? More power to you. If you can actually get scouts to come watch you hit a baseball and let them properly evaluate whether or not you should head to the minors for one of these teams, then God bless you, because it's an opportunity that would never fall upon me. If Tim Tebow could convince one person that he deserves a minor league baseball contract, God bless him. Now, I don't know his baseball ability, and I'm not going to pretend to know it. I do know that many, many good baseball players from the amateur ranks have gone into the majors with a lot of upside and a lot of potential and five-tool guy. This guy's a can't-miss prospect who no longer play Major League Baseball and never really got the chance to play Major League Baseball because it's an almost impossible sport to master. It is so difficult to be a professional baseball player. But is that really what Tebow is going for? Is Tebow really trying to be a member of the Cincinnati Reds? Or is he looking at his life the way a lot of people who are about to turn 30 look at their life and say, you know what? I do not have very many opportunities to do anything athletic. After a certain point, I am not going to be an athlete. I'm going to be a former athlete, and I'm going to let my body just sort of go down into retirement mode. Tebow's closer to that than he ever was winning a Heisman. He's closer to that age than he was winning a Heisman. So if he can get scouts to let him go on a team in the middle of nowhere USA and make $1,000 a month and ride on the bus and stay in bad hotels and live the life in a locker room and just play a game for a living, then you know what? More power to him. If he can do it, God bless. Not to sort of use a pun there, but God bless. But I think, too, there is an element of publicity stunt to this that does make me a little uncomfortable. But again, it's his deal. It's his life. If he wants to do it, I can't be that harsh to a guy. When I was in Denver, I covered him in that year that he kept winning games and people were still like, I don't believe this is happening. How are you still winning these games? We always watched him with sort of two eyes. The first eye was, this doesn't look anything like an NFL quarterback at all. These balls are ducks. They're being thrown over guys' heads. They're falling short at the feet. How in the world is he pulling this off? And then there was the other eye of, wow, we're late in the game. The Broncos are still in this, and he has the ball with under 2 minutes to go, and he's completing everything he throws. Those were these two dynamics to this very, very bizarre football player in terms of his skill set. because when the red light came on late, he really was effective. But when you wanted him to do basic quarterback things, he couldn't. But if he can get a scout to give him a minor league contract in Saskatoon, well, you know what, Tebow? More power to you. Coming up next, John Elway a little surprised about Brock Osweiler. We'll preview the Bengals on SB Nation Radio.